Track 6. Welcome back to the sports desk after our holiday break, where, despite the fact that we're into June now, there is no escape from football. And if that's a sport you're not interested in, it's going to get even worse, with the World Cup in Russia just about to start. England played a warm-up match against Nigeria the other evening and didn't seem to me to make the most of their superiority in only winning the match 2-1. They're due to play a second warm-up tomorrow, and then it's off to Russia early next week, where the 2018 World Cup starts in less than 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the local soccer teams take their summer rest, and the Stourbridge News reports that Stourbridge Football Club, the Glasboys, have been active signing new players for the 2018-19 season. Manager Gary Hackett has signed two wingers who he hopes will assist Glasboys' attacking options and help muster more goals for the club next year. Much of the existing squad, meanwhile, have re-signed for the new season. By this time of year, I'm more interested in what's happening on the cricket field, and I'm pleased to report that Stourbridge, in the third division of the Birmingham League, are continuing their good start to the season. Having had their first two matches abandoned without a ball being bowled due to the weather, remember when it seemed to be raining, or freezing, or both, every day? Stourbridge have remained unbeaten since and won their local derby against Old Hill with something to spare. Having bowled out the opposition for only 115, and funnily enough, after what I've just said, there had been rain overnight and the start of the match was slightly delayed, and the condition of the pitch suited Stourbridge's bowlers, who took full advantage. Conditions had eased by the time Stourbridge batted in reply, and they went on to win the match comfortably enough by a 5-wicket margin. Victory ensured Stourbridge continue to hold second place in the league. Since we were last here, England have faced Pakistan twice in test matches with decidedly mixed results. Our boys lost the first match, and like Stourbridge in the Birmingham League, the conditions had much to do with it. Skipper Joe Root won the toss and was criticised for selecting to bat first on a damp pitch, which, as it dried out, made batting tricky. The side were all back in the pavilion with fewer than 200 runs on the board, and Pakistan took full advantage, winning the match at Lord's with considerable ease. The sides met again at Headingley starting last Friday, and this match was all over by Sunday afternoon, this time with England in total command. There was no mistake this time, as skipper Joe Root again won the toss, put Pakistan into bat first, and had his reward as England's main pace attack of Anderson, Broad and Wokes each accounted for 3 wickets. Facing a modest Pakistan total of 174, England built a first innings lead of almost 200. Joss Butler, with 80 not out, was top scorer by some margin, and then completed the demolition by reducing Pakistan to 134 all out in their second innings. An England victory by an innings and 55 runs. But there will be a sterner test to come when India visit these shores starting in August. Talking of stern tests, England's top rugby players are now in South Africa, where the first test match against the home country is due this weekend. There has been quite a ding-dong between England coach Eddie Jones and the owners of some of our Premiership clubs over the stress and strain caused to players through playing in what can be a brutal sport through our Premiership season and on through the summer. Some do not approve of the England coach's full-on training methods, and some of the squad have suffered injury whilst training. No rest for the players, and it will likely be the same in 2019 when the next Rugby World Cup is held in Japan. There will be 3 international matches in South Africa on the next 3 Saturdays in a country where England have never won a test match series. South Africa are a pretty formidable team on their own patch, and it'll be interesting to see how England perform. The French Open tennis tournament has reached the quarter-final stage as I write this. It's one of the 4 recognised Grand Slam tournaments each year and the only one played on red clay courts, which slow the ball down a bit. None of the British competitors outlasted the first week, unfortunately. Joe Konta departed on the opening day. Heather Watson and Cameron Norrie, who's now the British number 2 as the injured Andy Murray slips down the rankings, went out in round 2. And most disappointing of all, Kyle Edmund said goodbye in round 3. He lost a 5-setter against the mercurial Italian Fognini, disappointing after Carl reached the semi-final in Australia last February, but he's never done so well on these slower clay courts. Maria Sharapova has already advanced to the next round as her would-be opponent, Serena Williams, had to withdraw from the tournament on Monday due to a muscle injury which made serving extremely painful. Her encounter with the Russian had been eagerly anticipated, as the pair of them do not get on. Does this make Sharapova favourite for the title? I'm not so sure. I watched Angelique Kerber, the German, destroy a good French player on Monday, and she's my tip. Talking of injured players, Andy Murray's expected to issue a statement about his present condition later this week, and he is entered in a fairly minor grass tournament in the Netherlands next week. Let's hope he's able to make it. And as a final note on tennis, Birmingham's Dan Evans is continuing his rehabilitation after being banned for a year due to a drug offence. He's playing in a tournament in Surbiton this week, and if he does well there and in similar events over the next month, he may be able to climb a wildcard entry to Wimbledon. When he was allowed to begin playing again, he found himself ranked somewhere around 1500th in the world. He used to be in the top 50. But by the start of Surbiton this week, he'd worked his way up to around 800th. Turning to the local speedway news, the Cradley Heathens are still making progress in the national trophy competition after a resounding win against Buxton. Heathens won this match by 57 points to 32, which puts them level in the tournament with the Coventry side at the top of the table. Both teams were under strength due to injury and commitments elsewhere, but the Heathens needed the win more after losing against Coventry in their previous meeting. Against Buxton, they were in front from the second heat and were never troubled thereafter as their lead grew steadily. With this Buxton side due to meet Cradley again at the Monmore Green track, that should be an assured home win, Heathens remain in contention for the trophy. And if you're interested in golf, the US Open, one of the four major tournaments each year, starts next week, which reminds me that an Englishman, Justin Rose, fairly nearly made it to number one in the world rankings the other day. Playing in the USA, where he's been based for years now, he was leading in an event after three rounds, and if he'd won it, then he would have been confirmed in the world number one position. However, he faded a little in the final round and finished fourth, which meant he just failed to clinch the world number one spot. All or nearly all of the world's leading players will be over here for our Open next month, and although I can't claim to be a close follower of the golf, the Open here plus the US Masters tournament at Augusta every April are two tournaments I don't like to miss. Anyway, that's for another of our weekly reports. For now, that's all from the Sports Desk. I'll be back with you next time, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.